Since you guys love iPhone rumors so goddamn much, let's talk about the iPhone 7 Plus. It might have two rear-facing cameras, and it also might bring Steve Jobs back. We'll talk about that and more coming up. Today's episode of Front Page Tech is brought to you by Fiverr. Fiverr makes it easy for you to get help in establishing your brand or business. You can use Fiverr to have others design logos, create video intros, end cards, animations, have professional voiceovers made, even get help with programming. The most amazing part about Fiverr? All of these services start at just $5, so you can add validity to your brand without the stress of paying thousands. Get started today by going to frontpagetech.net/Fiverr. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Front Page Tech, the show that gives you all latest tech news from one geek. That's me to another. That is you. I'm not alone today. I'm joined by the lovely, the beautiful, the manly, Andrew Zarian, everyone.
I love that intro. I'm lovely, I'm beautiful, and I'm manly.
Yeah, those three specifically. Lovely, beautiful, manly.
I think it's a beard. That beard is the only thing that's giving the manly comment.
Can we put that in your Twitter bio?
Lovely, you can put whatever manly. You want in my Twitter bio. Lovely and the lovely and the beautiful Andrew Zarian. Hey, guys.
Andrew, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
I do this little thing called the GFK Network. I started it about 8 years ago. We do live content like this. We cover everything from technology to pro wrestling to hair loss. We have everything. And you're on there. You do your shows on GFK.
Yeah,
now.
It's relatively new.
Yeah, this is what I do now. I just sit here on the internet and I talk to total strangers, and that's my job.
Hey, it works. It's what I do. That's
amazing, right?
So
beauty of the internet.
I was just thinking about that because, like, I just saw a few people that I went to high school with, and it's funny because I'm the exact same person that I was in high school, except now I just act like an idiot on the internet and get money for it. So I think it all works out.
Yeah, I still have, you know, I'm a couple years older than you, so I still
No. Did you say a couple years older than me?
A couple years older.
Okay.
Am I a decade old? How old are you? Am I a decade older than you? It's possible.
I'm 22.
I am a decade older than you. Jesus Christ.
Couple
what
years.
Am I doing with my life? I mean, you're 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
So for you, it's kind of understandable when you tell people, like, what'd you do? You're like, oh, I do this thing on YouTube. I go live. And they're like, oh, that's freaking awesome. For me... the go-to question that I get, because I have to kind of dumb it down, right? I have to say, like, oh, I do this radio thing. And I explain, I'm like, oh, I do this thing on the internet and radio. And they go, oh, what station are you on?
Yeah.
I have at this point created a facade, a lie about my career. I just tell people I'm on XM. I just tell people constantly I'm on satellite radio. I've given up explaining that my thing is on YouTube and online and the whole thing. I just, if someone asks me how they could find me, I just tell them, oh, it's on XM 269 Extreme Talk.
See,
I just made up and I made up the entire thing.
For me though, like if I said I was on radio, it wouldn't be relevant anymore.
No, like, for me, it still generation. Is because I hang around a bunch of old fuddy duddies. it's a craziest thing. Like I know people like you do your thing on YouTube, and you know I know a whole bunch of other guys doing great on YouTube right now. And it is so easy for them to explain to people like, oh, what do? I make videos on YouTube. Oh, all right, that's
right.
Cool. I attempt for 1 second to explain my living to people, and it is always, what station are you on? And I don't want to explain to them. I just have a hard time. So I'm on XM, guys. You can find me on XM on some imaginary station.
Yeah, just call in and ask where you can find Andrew Zarian.
Yeah, just call the satellite radio company and ask them.
Andrew, what do you say we talk about some tech news for the day?
I would love to.
Okay, number one, story numero uno, Microsoft now owns SurfacePhone.com. So we've been hearing a bunch of rumors, and Andrew knows information he's not allowed to tell me, I guess. But, so there's been rumors about Microsoft working on a Surface Phone, and these rumors have actually been going on for months. And now we're finding out that SurfacePhone.com is owned by Microsoft and it redirects to the Surface website. Now, there's a couple things that could be going on here. Number one, there's totally a Surface Phone coming. Or two, Microsoft, the rumors are so strong that they want to make sure that they kind of lock the copyright for that and they have SurfacePhone.com. My guess is that there's totally a Surface Phone coming and relatively soon. Andrew, what do you think? What do you think? You got a big smile on your face.
I would say that that is the most logical thing for them to do. We're seeing that You know, from things that are being hinted. This is, you're referring to the Tom Warren article on The Verge, but Paul Theriault has hinted at this, and many other, you know, insiders in the Microsoft world have kind of hinted at this, that it's the next logical step, right? They have the Surface brand, they have the Surface Book, they have the Surface Pro. Having a Surface phone makes sense for them,
right?
Because it has been a successful brand overall. For Microsoft, regardless of it, you know, selling millions and millions and millions of devices, it is a very successful device for them. And it's their first device, really. The Surface line is their first hardware launch, technically. So it makes a lot of sense for them to be preparing for a Surface phone. And this is all my opinion. I think the Lumia brand is a strong brand for them, but it should be their secondary brand. It should be their emerging market brand, their entry-level Windows Phone brand, and right. The Surface Phone brand should be their flagship, because that was a big criticism that from the community, that the latest set of Lumia devices, the 950 and the 950 XL, were not really flagships. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think they're phenomenal phones, but they were missing that little thing that makes it a flagship for a lot of people. I think when you have a Surface device, when you call it the Surface phone, you have no choice other than to make it a flagship phone.
Yeah.
I hope to see it. I really do.
So your hopes are pretty high in terms of the
my hopes. My hopes are very high that we may see it by the end of the year.
See, even if we do, though, I think it's going to be tough for them. But if I'm thinking about it this way, so Lumias are, they've done okay. They've done okay.
No, they haven't. No, they've done horrible. they really haven't. They have not done well. The Windows Phone line has not done well. It's not dying.
Right.
There are some emerging markets that they have, you know, 5% market share. They're doing very well in those markets. They do well in India. They do well in Brazil. You know, there's some European countries that they do phenomenal in. So they have a small little group of, you know, countries that are buying these products, and we're buying it too. But are we going to see 10% market saturation, market penetration for Windows Phone? I highly doubt it. But right. With things like Continuum and features from Windows 10 going over to the phone, I think it's a very nice little niche for them to have. I think it's just another companion to keep you in the Windows ecosystem, in the Microsoft ecosystem. You know, remember, they're a services company now, right? That's the selling point.
Right.
So they're going to eat money on this, on the hardware line, because they're going to get you in the software. They're going to sell you the software. They're going to sell you the services.
Do you think that this is a fairly decent way to kind of remove some of that Lumia stink off of things? Like, I mean, the reputation of Lumia isn't great, and it's not technically a rebranding. It's a launch of another product line, but do you think that this could give Microsoft a better chance in terms of getting some more of that market share?
Very small. I personally, and I know a lot of those guys from there that are working really hard at this, and I don't think that they are going to be a 10% market saturated brand. I do feel that they will have, you know, 5% maybe, and that 5% is going to be phenomenal. 6%, phenomenal. It's very difficult for them to break through. Android and iOS have taken over this entire market.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm an Android user. For all its flaws, I'm still an Android user, right? I talk about it. I hate it at times. It's getting, obviously, it's way better
right,
than
me
it was.
Too.
But I'm so engulfed in the iOS experience where I don't want another iOS device. I have an iPad. I got a MacBook. That's enough for me. I got an Apple TV. I have to be in another environment, because this is what I do for a living. But there's a reason why I don't have a Windows phone. There's a very good reason. Not because their hardware is bad, not because their cameras are bad, it's because the marketplace that they have is not good.
And that's one of the only problems. Like Windows phones themselves are not terrible.
But think about it like this, right? You have one company, it's one company, and they make the Xbox, which is arguably the most successful console of all time. You know, the Xbox is a very steady and stable brand for them. It is technically their only hip brand. It is the only brand that they have that connects to the youth. And right. Then they make things like the Windows Phone, which cannot even penetrate 5% of the market share. It's amazing to me. I mean, that's unfathomable. When you talk about a company that hits something, is batting 1,000 with one product and is constantly swinging and missing with the other.
Yeah.
It says something. I think they're going to have a very difficult time. With that said, I'm positive that their hardware, if you use a Lumia, if you have used, you know, the 950 and 950 XL or even the 930s, they are phenomenal devices. They feel great. They work great. It's perfect in every sense of, you know, the hardware goes. It's just the software is great, too. It's just they don't have the apps. They don't have the market share. They don't have the marketplace. It's hard.
Totally. I've even said this for a while that I even really like the UI of Windows Phone. I think it looks great. In fact, I probably wouldn't be against even using Windows Phone, except for exactly what you're talking about. The app ecosystem doesn't exist at all on the platform. It's terrible. And that's the biggest flaw of Windows Phone, and it's not even Windows Phone itself. So I think it'll be interesting because, I mean, they can keep making product after product and trying, swinging and missing, as you're mentioning. But unless other app developers jump on and help them out, it's kind of going to be tough for them.
Well, we have to a little look into the future. We should keep our eyes open and see what happens at Build this year, because
are you hinting at something, Andrew Zarian?
Well, listen, I could hint all I want. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen, right? They could do whatever they want. But this is going to be the year that universal applications really become universal apps for Microsoft.
Yeah.
I do think that they are onto something with between Xbox, between the tablets, between the laptops, and between the phones to have universal apps and make it easy for developers to just port their application. You could have the Front Page Tech app for the Xbox and easily with one click have it on every other platform. That's encouraging to developers.
Yeah. Okay. So Surface Phone probably a thing. Andrew says to be on the lookout to Build.
I say by November we should know more.
We
should know more by November.
Okay. Andrew, what's the next story?
Listen, guys, I know a lot of you are on Facebook. It's a big thing, right?
Pretty big.
And there was a lot of story, a lot of stuff happening out because of the dislike button. People want a dislike button in the worst way. Well, you're not getting a dislike button, but you are getting different types of like buttons now. There's different types of options coming in the next few weeks. So the story on The Verge, they're saying that Facebook is announcing that later this year, we're going to be getting, which is a couple of weeks from now, we're going to be getting different types of likes. So you're going to have a heart. You're going to get a smiley face. You could have a sad face, an angry face. Do you know how many of these stupid little emojis they're going to put on this?
Too many.
So you're not getting a dislike button, but you are getting a sad face.
Right.
On Facebook.
So we've reported on this before because it was like they were like, hey, we're going to do this sort of thing. And the funny thing is Twitter's doing it too. Twitter is going to take that like button, the heart, and transform it into you hit the like button and you get multiple emojis to choose from. So Facebook's doing this apparently just a few weeks away. And I'll be interested to see what happens. Is it the dislike button that people really wanted? No, but I think people have more fun with the emojis, period, just because people love the stupid little emojis.
Does anybody other than house moms really care about this?
Probably.
Other than the people that are sharing the latest cure for cancer that's found in the jungles? Does anybody else really care to put a sad face on somebody's status update?
Yeah, so I'm wondering,
I don't
because...
know.
Did you just go to switch the... Was that your arm going down to switch?
I did. Did you see that? I went to go switch the shot.
Oh, yeah, we saw it. I'm curious because, like, it's... Okay, let's say your post says, 52 likes. When you hover over likes, you get a list of people that liked it. Are you not going to get a list of likes plus what emoji someone has added to their like, or are the likes going to be only shown to the person that actually published the post?
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Are you going to use it, Andrew?
Oh, I'm going to use the sad puppy face constantly.
Just no matter what it is. Just always a sad puppy face.
No matter what it is, always a sad puppy face. I'm looking at it. There's a love. There's a heart. I'm going to use that on your posts.
Right. Thank you.
A happy face, a smirking face, a wow, a sad face, and an angry face.
I want you to be angry with everything I post.
You know, like, do you really want, like, someone saying, like, oh, I got married today and having, like, 15 jerks just put, like, an angry face?
I'll do it. You
know? Me too. I'll do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Google has cut the Nexus 5X and 6P prices by $50 as a Valentine's Day promotion. So if you're interested in those phones, there you go. Limited Valentine's Day promotion. The price is down by $50. So that would make the 5X 16GB model $299 unlocked. 32GB model $349. So it's cool. We've seen a couple price cuts already in terms of the 5X. And, you know, if you're into the phones, now's your chance to go ahead and grab them for this Valentine's Day deal. Are you into the 6P or 5X, Andrew?
Yeah, I actually do like the 6P. I like the 5X a lot. I recently used one. A friend of mine has it, and I really like the phone. It is a little disappointing that they didn't have these lower prices initially with the launch of these devices. You know, Google really has the opportunity to really disrupt the market when it comes to cell phones. We've seen companies like OnePlus really change the way that we buy phones, right? Yeah. Unsubsidized, $299, $399, you know, depending on which model you get, is phenomenal. I mean, that's where cell phones should be. You're buying a flagship phone of sorts. That's where it should be. Not paying, you know, $700 for pretty much the same exact thing. Right. The market is totally inflated. These prices on cell phones are ridiculous. They know that they could get it. They know that they could charge whatever they want, and that's why they do it. But Google really had the option with the 5X and the 6P to really disrupt the market. They didn't really do it. They kind of half-assed it. I think with these lower prices, they may for the next line realize that, listen, in order to penetrate the market with our devices, in order to, you know, provide the market with these pure Google phones where you constantly get the latest and greatest updates whenever it's released, they really have to lower the price and get people to buy it.
Right. Which is what they did originally. I mean, the first few Nexus phones those were the phones that introduced the whole budget thing to us. So, I mean, OnePlus obviously came in and made a pretty significant difference in that sense, but it was the Nexus line that really introduced budget phones to us. So it's kind of interesting that, like, the newer Nexus phones are $700.
Yeah, I have it. I have the older Nexus, and I have a OnePlus, and, you know, they were great because it was a guilt-free purchase. You know what I mean? Like, for $299, $399, you bought it, and I'm still using this thing. It's almost 2 years, and I don't feel guilty that I bought it. Now, if I spend $500-$600 on the device, then you know, that's a lot of money to spend for most people,
right?
On a phone.
So there you go, guys. $50 off both the 6P and the 5X for the Valentine's Day promotion. So if you've been looking to get the phones, I'd hurry up and get them for yourself for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, John, I got a question for you.
What is your question for me?
Do you use Spotify?
I love Spotify. Yes, I do use it.
Okay. So,
hey,
Andrew, always,
yes, sir. You get. Yes, sir. I'm going to give you 20 FPT points for that segue right there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, really, thank you.
You can use them at your local Walmart.
Yeah. Thank you. How many points do I need to get to cash it in?
Really, you can just look on the prices at Walmart, and it tells you like $30 or 10 FPT points,
or 50,000 FPT points.
Right.
I'm building my way to that VCR.
Just walk up to the the cashier and just be like, hey, I have 10 FPT points and I want to use the coupon code from Page Tech. And they'll be like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. Just pick out whatever you want and I'll scan it for you. That works. I'm an iTunes user, but over the last year, I'm using iTunes less and less, and I'm using Spotify more. You know, we saw the news last year that Spotify is adding podcasts and they have a couple brands on there. Now, Spotify launches video shows on iPhone and Android. True to yesterday's report, Spotify has launched its video channel with content from ESPN, Comedy Central, MTV, BBC, Vice News, Slate, and others on both Android and iOS. You get to Spotify's video by tapping on the browse section and then choosing the shows. Spotify has been serving up podcasts for several months now, but now they have added video. Are you going to use Spotify for video?
No.
Are people going to use Spotify for video? I don't know. I mean, who are they competing with here? Are they competing with YouTube?
That's the weird thing. Like, okay, so on Monday's show, we talked about this a little bit because, of course, there were reports that it was coming this week. We didn't know exactly when, but obviously it came a little sooner in the week than we thought. And I mentioned on the show that now, number one, if you can convince people to come to Spotify specifically because you added video, cool. But the majority of the people that use Spotify, you know, aren't trained to open the app to watch a video. They're not trained to open the app and keep it open.
Yeah. No, they're not. Not at all. And content consumption is very different on these devices. You know, consuming it on Spotify is very different than consuming it on YouTube. I pulled up YouTube on my Fire TV yesterday, and I was just watching SNL skits with my wife yesterday for like 2 hours. We got loaded. I mean, we were drinking wine, and we were just watching SNL. Let me tell you, watching SNL really drunk, it's still as funny as it was in the 80s. Not that you would know that.
No, I would have no idea.
Yeah. Or in the early 90s. But it's a very different way of consuming content. Spotify is great for music and streaming and to see what your friends are listening to and grabbing their playlists. I don't know how many people are actually going to use this to consume video. Are these full-length clips? Are they short clips? I'm not too sure. They haven't really stated on what kind of content they're going to release on here. Is it going to be long-form? Is it going to be short-term, short-form? The things that I've seen, they're like 2-minute ESPN clips, you know, Michigan State's biggest recruiting needs, for example.
And at that point, what's the value in that in the first place?
That's a great question. What's the value in it for the content provider, or what's the value in it for Spotify?
For the people, the community, that are using Spotify, what's the value to open Spotify and watch a 2-minute clip?
I think what they're doing is they're trying to get you to stay using Spotify.
Sure. It's just one of those ways to keep you in the app.
It's just retention. Yeah, it's retention. They want to retain people that are already opening up the app, because normally if you're gonna listen to Spotify, you're going to listen to music or whatever, or maybe, I don't even know how well they're doing with podcasts, to be honest. I don't think they're doing phenomenal with it. But most people are listening to music and then they want to watch a video, they go to YouTube, or they're on Facebook and someone's posting a stupid cat video. Spotify is not necessarily a place that I see people sticking to watch videos, but you never know. A Snapchat tried this a while ago and they've fallen flat on their face with having, you know, sponsored content posts, which I think all these companies that you listed right here, they're all part of it. Comedy Central, MTV, ESPN, they're all part of the Snapchat thing. People don't use it in that sense.
Right. I mean, they've built a reputation of being the go-to source for music. I mean, that's the reputation. They've spent years doing that. In fact, most of the time when I think music or sharing music or music in terms of social use, I think Spotify. But now you're taking that reputation that you spent years creating and being like, you could watch video now too. So now, like, when people open their YouTube app or whatever app they know and that they're used to going for video content, they probably won't even remember that Spotify has video enabled.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of these people. I don't like one-stop shops. Like, I use iTunes for my paid music and for my, you know, my local library. I use Spotify to hear what my friends are listening to and discover new music. I use YouTube to watch videos. I use Snapchat to send nudes to my friends when I'm loaded. So I like to spread everything out.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where it goes, but I'm not interested enough to actually try it myself. So I'll just have to, we'll have to see how long it lasts.
I mean, listen, I'll give it a shot. I highly doubt I'm going to be using it though.
Right. Andrew?
Yes, sir.
My good sir.
Yes, sir.
I guess I will mention the next story to get away from this one.
Please, go right ahead.
Okay. So, the iPhone, this is the last story of the day. The iPhone 7 Plus, we're looking at might have two rear-facing cameras. So, we're not talking like two cameras. The way the headlines are reading, you might imagine like literally two cameras on the back and that's how you take pictures. This is two lenses that could essentially once an image is snapped, it combines them to create two images for better low light, higher detail, that sort of thing. And according to these reports, could be like SLR quality imaging. Now this is coming from rumors, because they if you remember, Apple acquired Lynx. I believe that's the name of it.
Yeah. Yeah, Lynx.
Which is a sensor company, camera sort of deal, which they acquired them, and now they would be able to use that technology to get it in the iPhone 7 Plus. It's a cool concept. In fact, I wouldn't doubt that this is even going to happen. This is something I would totally see Apple doing, pulling off the proper way. There is a weird thing in this rumor that kind of makes me question it. According to the rumor, it says that they could potentially be giving us two iPhone 7 Plus models. So one with the two with the dual camera system, and one without it. I would understand if it was like a, you know, if it was a way to sell people up to the iPhone 7 Plus, kind of like how the iPhone 6 comes out and you have the iPhone 6 Plus with optical image stabilization. That was the reason to buy the iPhone 6 Plus.
I think that part of it is a little misunderstood. The source is a very very reliable Chinese source that story broke out from. John Gruber in 2014, as 2 years ago, I mean, it's crazy to think about it, had mentioned that he had heard about a working dual camera system for future iPhones. This makes a lot of sense, and it's not that crazy of a concept. HTC did this a couple years ago, where it was a smaller megapixel, but it was like a dual camera. So what it was doing, it was combining two images, and it looked unbelievable. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, for the time, it was a very impressive shot that they were doing with, you know, 8 megapixels or whatever it was.
Right.
I don't think that there's going to be two plus models. I think what we're most likely going to see is the iPhone 7, the iPhone 7 Plus. The iPhone 7 Plus will have this feature. Or maybe they're saying that the iPhone 7 Plus S, which will be the next version, will have this feature. The idea that this is going to be better than an DSLR is interesting to me, because the days of the DSLR are slowly being phased out. You know,
for
you have mirrorless cameras. You have the iPhone is a phenomenal camera. Samsung is doing a great job. There's less of a necessity to have this, but the only thing that I would really want to see is optical zoom. There are rumors that we're looking at maybe a 4x optical zoom in the next version of the iPhone. I think that is a total game changer. If they're able to do it. This is cool. The fact that it's going to stitch two photos and give you this phenomenal, you know, depth of field kind of shot, because you could do that in that sense. But if you could do a optical zoom on these cameras, it's a total game changer. The camera days are numbered.
I'm interested to see how this is going to work out. I can't remember. Was it the HTC One that had...
The HTC One did it. Yeah, the HTC One. Yeah, that's the one who did it. And it looked really good. That phone, actually, what they did, they had a very good front-facing camera. And it kind of changed the way that other companies look at the front-facing camera, the selfie camera.
Yeah.
And they had a very good rear shot, but it was a smaller megapixel. It didn't last that long. You know,
right.
It didn't really survive as long as it should have, but it did give you this platform where, you know, that may be an option, just two cameras in the back of the phone, and it just stitches the image quality together. I've seen some examples of this done in testing. They look great, not from Apple, but other companies that have attempted this. It requires a lot of processing, obviously, but if they do this, this could be, you know, another win for them, another thing that a lot of other companies have to play catch up to.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, when it comes to their reputation and what people expect from them, it wouldn't surprise me at all if this is completely 100% true and this is what we see. But like I said, I don't think it would be with what the rumors are stating. Like Andrew said, I think it's a little bit misunderstood. I don't think there's going to be multiple iPhone 7 Plus models. It's just going to be literally the iPhone 7, the iPhone 7 Plus, then has the dual camera system. Not the iPhone 7, but just the iPhone 7 Plus.
It's going to be a very confusing launch for the next line, right? Because there are rumors that a 4-inch version of the iPhone, there are rumors that they're going to keep,
right,
you know, obviously they keep the older generation still on the market, and then you're going to have the new generation on the market. It's going to be so many iPhones.
Right.
There.
Well, the 4-inch one we reported is probably coming in March. This, like the iPhone 7, iPhone 7 Plus, is months away, over 6 months away. So I'm curious to see how this goes, considering The reports on Apple's profits lately. So this the past quarter they got the their most significant bump ever, the highest recorded profit for any company ever, which was 18.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that unbelievable?
$18.4 billion, which is crazy. Last year, actually, I was looking at my time hop today, and I had tweeted that Apple had the biggest revenue of any company ever with $18 billion. So the same thing happened this same time last year. So now it's $18.4 billion, but apparently iPhone sales have slowed down. But that's like people are making a big deal about it. To me, that's completely normal that iPhone sales would slow down. I mean, we haven't gotten a new iPhone for a couple months. So I think we're definitely gearing up, and I don't think the... Honestly, I don't think the 6S and 6S Plus were a significant enough upgrade for like everyone in the Apple ecosystem to go ahead and jump up to those, like they usually do every year.
Yeah. Well, they had a couple of those issues, right? They had the same problem with the iPad Air. The iPad Air 2 was not a significant boost for people to go out and buy it. And you saw all the analysts come out and say, well, nobody's buying the iPad anymore. The iPad is slowing down. Nobody's buying it. Well, nobody's buying it because it's the same exact thing as it was two years prior to this. So... listen, you need, in order to drive purchases, you have to drive innovation, and you need to drive a change. If the product stays the same, it's going to be less of an incentive for someone to go and spend $600 on a tablet when they don't really need one.
Yeah.
Even their laptops. I mean, you look at the laptop line. They really haven't done much in a couple years.
Right. Well, we'll see. I have no doubt that Apple will be just fine, especially upon releasing the new 4-inch iPhone 5 SE or whatever. And, of course, when we see the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus, people are going to be lining up for days, camping out. It's going to be the same thing, and Apple's not in trouble or anything.
Do you think that's a step backwards for them to even offer a 4-inch model of the iPhone?
I don't think it's a step backwards. I think they're trying to cater to... a very smaller market. This, and I've said this before on the show, I think that the iPhone 5 SE is going to be a perfect sell for, like, you know, parents around the holiday season who walk into a Best Buy and they're like, hey, I want to get my kid an iPhone, and they don't know anything, they don't understand anything about phones.
That's
just
the most disappointing Christmas ever.
Yeah. I don't, I mean,
tell your mom to go buy you an iPhone, they buy you an 8 gig version of a 5CSX mini.
I don't think it's a step backwards. I think that they're trying to accommodate this market, but I think they're putting a little bit too much effort into it.
Yeah.
But well, then again, Apple has so much fucking money, it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, this is a great example of a very different Apple, right? Steve Jobs dictated what you should be doing. You know, he changed it for you because he knew better. Now, it's a very different Apple, so they're trying to appeal to everybody. I don't necessarily think having the 4-inch model is a good thing. All these people that yelled and screamed, my wife was one of them, did not want a new iPhone, did not want a bigger phone. She hates the big phones. She has a 4.7-inch iPhone. She can't go back to the small one now.
Right.
It's too small. I know people that bought the 5, bought the 6, the 6 Plus, 6S Plus. They bought the thing, they hated it for a week, and then they started using it. They're like, wow, this is actually pretty cool that it's this big. So Apple used to dictate change and force change, which I don't think that that's the best thing either, but it's a very different Apple, whatever way you look at it. I do think this is a little bit of a step backwards. I think a 4-inch version of any phone is way too small in 2016.
It's like people just walk up to Tim Cook and they're like, hey, Tim, I got this idea. Should we make a 4-inch iPhone? He's like, sure, go ahead. Let me put down my weights and I'll sign off on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Definitely not going to be as good of a change as the iPhone 6 Plus was, or the iPhone 6S Plus. I think that was a good market change because, I mean, there is a place for those bigger phones. I mean, yeah, Apple had to meet that demand. They don't have to make a 4-inch phone.
Emerging markets, if priced correctly, that smaller iPhone could do really well in emerging markets. That could be what we're talking about here. Not necessarily, you know, the demand for people with small hands that want a smaller phone.
Yeah. It's smaller, it'll be a little bit cheaper, and it's still an iPhone, so that's probably what'll sell it. Anyway. So, Andrew, that is it.
That's it?
That's all
we're
we
done?
Have for the, that's all we have
I could
for the
do, I could do this for another 2 hours.
Are you sad? Do you want to do it for another 2 hours? Do you want to just go over all the news stories again?
Yeah, let's go over everything again. Hey, did you hear about Spotify?
Yeah, what about them?
Yeah, they're doing this video thing.
So crazy. Andrew, thanks for coming on. Where can people find you, sir?
They can find me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. I do a pro wrestling podcast every Thursday. It's also on, it's called Mat Men. I do a tech podcast called What the Tech with Paul Thorod. I do another tech podcast called Tech News Weekly with John Bubb, Suncast in the chat room for a lot of people, you know, that follow him.
I've even been on that show.
Yeah, you've been on that show. I do a whole bunch of stuff. We have everything you could imagine. If you go to gfknetwork.com, you could go there, check out a show, find something you like. You're on there. Front page tech is all over my front page now.
Yeah. It's because we post 80 times a week.
It was literally, yeah, 8 times a week you got front page tech on my website. There was literally a moment last week where you could scroll 2 pages. I was not on any show. It was all John. It was all everybody else.
You're welcome.
People from different networks that are not even, they have zero affiliation with me. They were just guests on shows. It was the craziest thing. And I'm looking, I'm like, wow, this, over the last couple of years, a lot of this has changed. A lot of my brand has changed.
We're slowly going to get rid of you.
I hope so, man. I don't want to do this anymore. Listen, guys, I just want to sell and be done.
Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for letting me fill up your homepage. No,
anytime. This was a lot of fun. Your audience is awesome. I'm loving the chat room, and this is awesome. You're doing. Let me stroke you a little bit here.
Okay, go ahead.
You're doing such a great job. Yeah, cut to me. You're doing such a good job with Front Page Tech. I really predict in a couple of years this thing is going to totally explode.
Okay, a couple of years.
Totally explode.
If it totally explodes, you get 50 MPT points.
I'll be working for you. Listen, I'll be working for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's it. That's my goal. That's what I'm hoping. You do so well that I end up working for you, and I say forget about this whole GFQ thing. I'm a front page tech guy.
Okay. I'll write it down. Let me make the note.
Write it there. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. If you found us on iTunes or wherever, I don't know, wherever you listen to my stupid face, we have a YouTube channel. YouTube.com/frontpagetech is where you can find us. You can help support the show on frontpagetech.net. Thanks, Andrew, for coming on, and we will see you on Friday.